Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're the place where we unpack complex topics, dig through the sources, and pull out the most important insights for you.
That's right.
Today, we're setting off on a pretty fascinating journey. It's into this really unique narrative, a deeply personal story about a writer, his search for an ideal, and, well, how fiction and reality can get seriously blurred.
Yeah, and the source material itself is it's incredibly rich. Almost reads like a novel. You know,
sure.
It gives you this mosaic of human emotion, relationships, and even the whole act of creation itself.
It sounds intense.
Oh, it is. What really stands out is how the author uses his own life, like his actual struggles, his relationships. That's the raw material for his writing.
So it's not just a story about a writer.
Exactly. The story is the writing process in a way. You really see how personal conviction can fuel an artistic vision even when things get really challenging.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Our mission today, basically, is to follow the main guy, Azad. We're tracking how he tries to create this idealized woman, Zingara, and how his real-life encounters just constantly challenge and reshape that whole artistic quest.
Where do we even begin with Azad? It's quite a starting point.
Well, the story kind of kicks off with Azad, the writer, carrying these unspoken feelings. He wants to express something towards a woman named Helen.
Right, Helen. He doesn't see her much, does he?
No, very infrequently. Sometimes days go by. So instead of, you know, saying something directly, he decides to channel all this into a novel.
Ah, the classic writer's move.
Totally. And he creates a character named Mad, and the story is called Inanna's Eyes.
Okay, Inanna's Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. But this immediately brings up a big question, doesn't it? Like,
right.
What happens when a writer's own personal desires, maybe even unrequited ones, become the actual engine driving their art?
Yeah. Is it pure? Is it skewed?
We see Azad really wrestling with it. He's asking himself, you know, should I write my words, my feelings? Or should I listen to the character, Mad, who seems to be shouting, hey, this is my story. Only write my words.
Wow, that's quite an internal battle, line by line almost. And you see this conflict even in a letter he means to give Helen. He sort of apologizes if the gesture seems pointless.
But you don't have to read this.
Exactly. And he mentions this great uneasiness because he's leaving the city soon after 12 years there, wants to leave the unease behind.
Uh-huh.
But then there's this kicker. He thanks Helen for, and I quote, reviving a Sumerian priest 5,000 years later.
Okay, wait, Sumerian priest? Inanna's Eyes. This isn't just background detail, is it?
Doesn't seem like it.
No, it feels deliberate. It elevates his personal stuff, right? Makes it seem ancient, archetypal. Inanna, she's a major Sumerian goddess, love, war, the underworld.
So he's connecting his feelings for Helen to something huge, something mythical.
Precisely. It hints right away at this theme that keeps coming back. Azad wants to, like, transcend the everyday. He wants to weave this deeper, maybe mythical meaning into his reality through his writing.
He's not just writing a novel.
He's trying to live one. Bring that myth into the here and now.
Okay, so with that groundwork laid, inspired by Helen, Azad actually makes a move. He relocates to Coburg.
Right. Chasing the ideal, maybe?
Feels like it. And it's in Coburg that his Zingara project starts to take real shape, and it centers on a woman named Rosie.
Oh, Rosie.
Yeah, she's Italian, a single mom, son named Kevin, works at an ice cream parlor. Pretty normal life on the surface.
But underneath,
yeah,
it's a very different story. The contrast is, well, it's immediate. Rosie's had it tough. Grew up in an orphanage, faced beatings, no real family support.
Wow.
Yeah, and she's dealing with money problems, her brother's in prison.
Yeah.
You can kind of see why Azad might feel this pull, this urge to step in, to be the rescuer.
He's instantly drawn to her physically, too. He describes her hair long, black, permed. He's just captivated.
That initial infatuation.
Totally. His mind's racing, you know. Who is she? What's she doing? Where'd she go? Will I see her again? All that stuff. He feels something shifting inside him.
And he acts on it pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. He makes her a music video. Uses that Alexander Claus song, Another Day, Another Heart. And the lyrics apparently really echo this Zingara idea he's building.
Okay, but here's the crucial thing again. Mm-hmm. Is he projecting? Is he just plastering his ideal onto Rosie? Or does he genuinely see something transformative in her?
That's the million-dollar question.
He even connects her to this really intense dream he had at Vest Castle in Coburg.
Yeah.
You know, that big imposing fortress.
Yeah. What was the dream?
He sees a peasant woman being executed. And there are blind Kurdish drummers playing these laments, celebrating, like, immortal love even in death. That's heavy stuff.
Whoa.
And Zod wishes he was a musician so he could capture those melodies forever, which again points to his drive, right?
Yeah.
To capture these huge, powerful emotions in his art.
And he tries to make this savior thing real. He gives Rosie money.
For her brother's lawyers, yeah.
Offers her a job at his internet cafe, which isn't doing great itself. And he starts warning her off people.
Like Demude, her partner. The one who gambles.
Yep. Tells her Davood's playing games. And even warns her about a friend, Gabi, who the source describes as having addiction issues and a complicated personal life.
See, this is where it gets tricky. Connecting it back, Azad's attempts to, let's be honest, control Rosie's life, even if he thinks it's for her own good.
Mm.
It shows that classic tension. The author's vision versus the subject's own life, their agency.
He thinks Davood's bad news, wants her to cut ties completely.
And he even uses her practical need for a residency permit, which needs a formal job as leverage. Like, work for me, stay away from Davood.
Wow, that's manipulative, even if well-intentioned.
It's a really slippery slope, isn't it? That savior complex. It sounds noble, but it can easily become about control, about forcing someone into your mold. And often it just backfires, leads to disillusionment for everyone.
His efforts are so intense, though. He tries giving her a book with, like, graphic images from Mel Gibson's The Passion movie.
Seriously?
Yeah, and some video by an artist named Merv, known for dark stuff. He hopes it'll shock her, change her.
That seems unlikely to work.
And it doesn't. The reality of Rosie's life, her choices, they keep disappointing him. She's inconsistent. Money's still an issue. She's still involved with Davood. He starts to feel like she's just playing him.
Which raises that other question. When does compassion curdle into this, like desperate need to force someone into your box, into your ideal?
He gets hurt by small things too, right? Like her not wanting to walk next to him in public.
Yeah, or just her casual attitude. It wounds him. He starts thinking maybe their connection should just stay in the imbiss, the snack bar, not out in the real world.
He feels like she doesn't get his dream, sees him as an idiot she can use.
The resentment is building.
And then comes the crash. This message from Roberto, who's the partner of Rosie's friend.
Oh, yeah, this is brutal.
Roberto texts Azad basically saying, Rosie, didn't you tell me Mario, presumably another guy, is old and Azad is lame and you just pity him?
Ouch. Just yeah. Ouch. That lays it bare. Her actual perception versus his whole Zingara fantasy.
Total demolition of the ideal. And it gets worse. His own daughter, Malik, gets a message from Rosie.
No way. What did Rosie say?
Claiming Azad wanted to sleep with her, that she had evidence.
Oh my God, that brings his family right into the middle of this whole mess.
Exactly. Leading to a really painful confrontation, his personal projects spilling into his family life.
This has to be the rock bottom moment for him, right? The big disillusionment.
You'd think so.
He's forced to see Rosie isn't Zingara. Could never be Zingara, maybe. He even says something like, God sent you a gift, but you couldn't see it. You destroyed his honor.
Yeah, blaming her.
He concludes she failed to become Zingara.
Yeah.
It's harsh. He feels she's basically contaminated his novel, the ideal itself. It's kind of heartbreaking, actually, seeing that dream shatter. Makes you think how often we try to force people into roles they can't or won't play.
So, yeah. The Rosie chapter ends in flames, pretty much. A real painful dose of reality for Azad. His big ideal is in pieces.
So the question becomes,
yeah,
what happens now? Can the whole Zingara idea even survive this?
Surprisingly, yeah. But the answer doesn't come from some grand event. It comes quietly, actually. In a bakery.
A bakery?
Yeah, he starts frequenting this bakery, and there's a woman working there named Duru. And pretty soon, he sees something in her eyes.
Don't tell me.
Yep, in on his eyes.
Wow, the motif returns. First Helen, now Duru.
Yeah.
But this feels different somehow.
He seems to think so.
Yeah.
He believes Duru sees Mad, his heroic alter ego in him, just like he sees Inanna in her. It suggests, I don't know, reciprocity, a real connection this time.
Unlike the unrequited thing with Helen or the disaster with Rosie. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. This shift in muse, it's going to be huge for him, creatively, emotionally.
And Duru is described completely differently from Rosie. She's innocent, respectful, moral, has that honor and pride he felt Rosie lacked.
And crucially,
she's an aspiring poet herself. She shares her poems with him. There's a shared artistic spark.
Okay, see, that makes sense. In Azad's mind, Rosie's emptiness, her failure to grasp the novel spirit, had basically tortured and contaminated his work, right? Undermined its credibility.
Yeah, that's how he saw it.
So Duru, she comes along and she saves it. She
yeah.
beautifies the novel, maybe without even realizing it.
Archaea.
She's guiding him back.
He's clearly inspired again. He starts making video clips for her artistic images.
Oh, he gets intense quickly again.
He even makes her eyes the background on his computer. That feels pretty significant for an artist.
Wow. Okay. Very personal.
And he tells her she'll be the first to read the Zingara novel, that promise he never made to Rosie.
Ah, deliberate contrast.
And he flat out tells Daru, this novel will be written for you.
So this new connection, it's like a shot of adrenaline for him. He feels stronger. He sees himself as that savior again, but maybe in a different way now. A savior of the dream itself.
Seems like it. He tells Daru something interesting. You give the love and affection you withhold, which suggests...
a real turnaround. A positive energy shift. And Daru engages with it, right? Mm-hmm. She asks for a notebook for her poems and recipes.
Yeah, poems and recipes. She's taking her own creative side seriously, which must resonate hugely with Azad.
She embodies that spirit he was looking for.
Oh, exactly. So this Zingara ideal, it was elusive with Helen, then kind of shattered by Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Now with Daru, it starts to feel solid again.
He recovers from the Rosie disaster.
Seems so. Even though he worried Rosie had ruined the name Zingara, his determination comes back. He even starts planning to rename his internet cafe Bistro Zingara.
Whoa, making it public, a real declaration.
It ties into this belief mentioned in the source. Believing is the strongest magic.
Ah, taking control of the narrative.
Yeah, Azad insists he'll write his own destiny, not leave it to the gods. He thinks by, like, living the Zingara ideal himself and finding it in Daru, he can actually fix the story, overcome Rosie's unforeseen ending.
He's reclaiming his own narrative arc.
And the story builds to this really symbolic climax. Azad and Daru, who's now basically called Zingara, in the narrative they arrange to meet a photographer.
Rare.
Near Jute d'Or. It's a historical gate in Coburg. And the meeting is described as clandestine, almost like that execution in his earlier dream.
Suggesting risk, defiance, bringing this private ideal out into the open.
Yeah, like bringing it to life has a cost.
And this is where fiction and reality totally merge, right? The source uses this amazing phrase, the two brave hearts descended from novels.
Wow.
Yeah. It emphasizes they aren't just characters anymore. They're living it. They've stepped off the page.
And the execution dream connection.
Transposed from the castle to the city. It symbolizes that heavy price of creating Zingara. But Azad now sees himself differently, like a master politician who can spin negatives into positives, turn disappointment into triumph.
He's reframing the whole thing.
Completely.
And then the ultimate symbolic act, the book inscription. Azad signs his book for Daru as Mad.
His alter ego.
And Daru signs it back to him as Zingara.
Wow, that's powerful, the exchange.
He writes this message for her. Life was a long road for Mad. Meeting you on this endless road was his only comfort. Take care of your necklace, your novel, and your name. Don't give your heart to those who don't deserve it.
That last line definitely aimed back at the Rosie experience.
Feels like it. But it totally cements Daru as the real inheritor, the true Zingara.
It suggests the real Zingara isn't just one person, maybe. It's an ideal.
Wait.
It's about values, resilience, sticking to your guns.
And Azad, the writer, he feels proud, right? Like he's created a first in the world by bringing this concept to life in Coburg, despite everything.
Yeah, a testament to the artist maybe shaping their own reality against the odds.
So wrapping this up, what does this whole journey mean? Azad's quest for Zingara. It's quite a ride.
It really is.
It feels like a powerful reminder that, okay, our ideals, they're going to get tested, maybe even smashed by reality sometime.
Absolutely. Life gets messy.
But the act of striving for them anyway, and maybe finding new inspiration when the old one fails, that can lead somewhere profound. Purpose, achievement, even if it looks different than you first imagined.
And if you zoom out, look at the bigger picture. It really shows how we all grapple with disappointment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And the incredible power of stories, the narratives we tell ourselves to shape how we see everything, and that fundamental human need to find meaning, to make life feel significant, even, well, mythical sometimes.
Like Azad tried to do.
Exactly. It shows that even when you face betrayal, disillusionment, the core dream, the core values, they can actually survive. They can find new ways to live, new forms of expression.
So Azad's story kind of leaves you thinking, maybe, if life is just a play, like the old saying goes, and you're the one writing it, who's your hero going to be? And maybe more importantly, what ending are you going to choose for your own story, especially when reality throws you those unexpected plot twists?
That's a deep thought to end on.
Yeah.
Who's writing your script?